Let's read together about the rest that God calls us to celebrate on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. We read a summary of the Bible's teaching about the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you turn in the back of your songbooks to page 52, back of your Psaltery hymnals to page 52, Lord's Day 38, we confess our faith to God as an act of worship concerning what we want to give to Him in the fourth commandment and what He calls from our lives. What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? That's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained. And that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. And then let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 4, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Page 1865. Page 1865 in your pew Bibles. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 12. We'll read through the end of the section there, through verse 13 of Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all His work. And again in the passage above, He says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later, He spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There ends the reading of God's word. May He bless us by it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in a culture of anxiety, a culture of frenzy, of weariness, of worry, a culture of restlessness, God has given to us a place of true rest, Jesus Christ. And He's given to us a day of rest, the Lord's Day. So we have a gift that allows us to shine in the midst of a culture that doesn't know rest. The gift of Christ and the gift of a day set apart for remembering Christ, recalibrating our lives around Him. I don't know if those, what do they call GPSs that go in your car and give you directions? Do they still say recalibrating? Well, anyway, they used to. The idea was, if you're off course, the thing has to recalibrate you and redirect you. And that's what the Lord's Day is about. Sacred space. Structured into our lives as a time of recalibration, redirection. Lest we forget. Because in the trenches of life, you get lost, don't you? It's easy to get lost, to lose your way. Well, that's the purpose of the weekly day of rest. God has given us rest in Christ through His death and resurrection. We have rest from guilt, rest from hell, rest from Satan's tyranny. We're brought into fellowship with God. We have the rest of friendship with God. And He wants us to remember that rest and use the Sabbath day for that. So we have a day of rest with the God of rest every Lord's Day. He's our Sabbath God we want to see this morning. He's our Sabbath day. He's given us a Sabbath day so that we might live a Sabbath life. He's our Sabbath God who's given us a Sabbath day so that we might live a Sabbath life. Day of rest with the God of rest. Congregation, in the fourth commandment, you meet the Sabbath God. You meet the Sabbath God. Have you ever thought of rest as one of God's attributes? We think of His eternity and invisibility and infinity. We think of His love and His power, His omniscience. But have you ever thought of rest? We have a resting God as one of His attributes. A God of perfect peace and quietness and tranquility and stability, who's not shaken and not moved and not flustered. That's our God. And we get to reflect Him by keeping the fourth commandment. He's a God of rest, and He calls us to imitate Him. Well, the book of Hebrews is written to Christians who are in danger of apostasy, falling away from God, falling away from the rest that we have in Christ. And that's how apostasy is described here in Hebrews 3 and 4. It's described in terms of rest. God has promised us eternal rest in Jesus Christ, His Son. Rest for our weary, burdened, restless souls. Our souls are in desperate need of a resting place. Isn't yours? Mine is. I need to be delivered from fear and anxiety and worry. I need to be rescued from bitterness and rage and greed and lust and sinful cravings, which all destroy the rest of my soul, the restfulness of my soul. And Jesus is that rest. The gospel is a gospel of rest. But these Christians were tempted in the early church to do with that rest God had promised them in Christ and invited them to embrace exactly what Old Testament Israel did with that promised rest in the wilderness. Remember, He promised them rest in the land of Canaan. I'm going to take you out of the land of Egypt, bring you through the wilderness, carve out for you a spot in the land of Canaan and live with you there. And you'll drink from me and I'll sup with you. And that will be your rest. I will be your rest. So the spies went in, remember? And they met giants. And they came back to the people, 10 of the 12, and said, it's not happening. The rest God promised is a lie. It's impossible. And they did not believe in the God of rest. They rejected that attribute of God. They rejected the truth of God. There is no rest coming for us. And they turned away from the living God and they perished in the wilderness. And then they'll be tempted to do that again here in the New Testament. You have a rest promised to you. Don't mistrust the God of rest and think that He can't bring you into rest. Don't think that you have to go looking for rest in all the wrong places, because God's not going to deliver. He can't fill your empty soul, your empty life. He's the one. He is rest, and He gives His people rest. And Hebrews 4 gives three proofs. The first is creation. God is a God of rest. Proof one. Creation. Hebrews 4 verse 4. Points out that God proves already in Genesis 2 that He's a God of rest. For somewhere, it says, speaking of Genesis 2, He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. He's a working God and he's a resting God. He knows how to be quiet. He knows how to be still. He knows how to be calm through and through, and he shares that rest with us so that we can be like him. He designed us to need rest and to take special time for rest, for soul refreshment with God every week. Right at the beginning of creation, we ignore that to our peril because he designed us for it. Even Adam and Eve, before the fall, they were created to need that. How much more after the fall when sin disrupts our rest? Proof two, the Exodus. Hebrews 4 speaks about the rest that God gave to Israel when they were slaves in the land of Egypt. They had no peace. They had no rest of soul. They were under the burden of oppression, exhausted, weary, groaning. But God brought them out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm through Moses and through Joshua, brought them into the promised land. So it speaks here of the rest Joshua gave them. I know it was a geographical, physical rest in the promised land, not like the New Testament rest, heaven. But still very spiritual, a rest of living with God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God, knowing the truth. I am your God. You're my children. You're my people. And then Hebrews 4 said, oh, and there's a third rest that proves that God is a God of rest. He's a resting God. And that's the rest that God has provided in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You see, Hebrews 4 is arguing, if Joshua brought them into the final rest, well, God in Psalm 95 through David, way after the days of Joshua, would not speak about a rest that's still to come. So if Joshua, in the book of Joshua, brought them into a rest, and many years later, David speaks about rest that's still coming, there's got to be a bigger and better rest coming, and that's accomplished through Jesus Christ. That's the rest prophesied by David in Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. By speaking of today, verse 8, he points to another day of rest that is coming. And that's the ultimate rest. That's the ultimate rest that God has given us in Christ. Never, ever was there a rest like this. You and I, congregation, have available to us a peace and quietness of soul unlike the Israelites could ever experience. Jesus and his perfect work. We were designed for resting, but every soul is restless until you meet God's rest in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Do you need any more evidence that one of the attributes of our God is he's a resting God? And he's designed us to imitate him and be a resting people, a people that know how to work and work hard, but also know how to stop and be quiet and rest. Not quiet in the sense of do nothing, but quiet in the sense of enjoying God, fellowshipping with him in the midst of his people. What did Jesus do to give us rest? He took our sins upon himself. So you're freed from guilt. You have rest from guilt. He took my curse upon himself. So I'm freed from the curse. God's away from me. You're freed. You have rest from the curse. He went through hell before the cross, but especially on the cross, to rescue you from that weeping and gnashing of teeth, that eternal restlessness of hell. You can have rest from hell. And he rose again. And he ascended into heaven so that you can have rest with God. You can be at the right hand of God with Christ. He's got it all. Everything that you need to fill your empty soul and give you joy and happiness and satisfaction. That's what that rest and peace are about. It's in Jesus. In Jesus alone. What grace of God that he would provide this rest for us. Because we should spend forever like Cain, who sinned against God, right? He didn't want the rest God was, so he was condemned to be a restless wanderer. We should be that forever, but God says, no, I want my people to have rest. Rest. Do you know that restfulness of God in your own life? Trust His promise. Don't turn your heart away from this gospel. Don't look for rest in stuff, in sports, not even in vacations. Don't look for rest in your looks or in politics or in organizations, even good ones. Only Jesus has got it. And the Sabbath celebrates that. We have a resting God who has come to us and taken our restlessness upon Himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? So we could have rest. And that leads us to the second point. Our resting God has given us, even before the fall into sin, a day of rest so that we could cultivate that quietness and peace of life in our own souls. He has given us, the God of rest, a day of rest, a Sabbath day. Hebrews goes on to say, because there is still this greater rest that Jesus has created for us by His work. We're not done with the Sabbath day yet. Thank God it's not over yet. It's not been taken away. Look at verse 9. Here's the key. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Oh, people will say, no, yeah, that's speaking about the eternal rest in heaven. No, the Holy Spirit uses a different word here. Uses it only once. All the other rests in Hebrews 4, and there are 8 of them, are one and the same word, meaning resting. The resting place of life with God in heaven. But this word in verse 9 is actually not Sabbath rest, it's Sabbath keeping or Sabbath observance. Let me reread it that way. There remains then a Sabbath observance for the people of God. There remains therefore a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Since there's still a rest that's coming, rest with God in heaven in Christ, there remains a weekly Sabbath to keep you on the course of going toward Him and not turning away from Him. The next verse shows that the understanding to be true. Just as God rested from His works, so we are to rest from ours. It's talking about the weekly Sabbath there again. That was ordained already at creation for all people. And then renewed at Sinai as a special gift for Israel. And now in Christ is remembered on the first day of the week. Not the Saturday, but the Sunday. Why? Because on the first day, Jesus rose from the grave. And you see that pattern in the New Testament. After Easter, the church meets together. They worship together. They break bread together. They take the offering together. 1 Corinthians 16. On the first day of the week. But what's the point of keeping a weekly Sabbath, a weekly Sunday? It's to imitate. And to remember the Sabbath God, the resting God, the God of creation who worked hard 6 days and rested on the seventh, the God who knows work and quietness. But also the Savior God, the God in Christ who worked hard for our salvation and then rose on Sunday morning to rest from the work of salvation. And we're called to work and rest after the image of Christ. The Lord of the Sabbath wants you to give your heart a break from the daily grind. Give your heart a break from the daily grind. Dip your souls in the refreshing streams of fellowship with God and His people. Dip your souls in the refreshing streams of fellowship with God and His people. That's what it's about. It's a stop sign. A time out from God. Because He knows we need it. Planted squarely in the middle of planting season and haying season and homework, exam time. Never convenient, is it? Oh, it might not always feel convenient, but it is essential. It's necessary. Lose your Sabbath, lose your religion. Because that's the sacred space God has carved out for us to recalibrate, refocus, be renewed, refreshed in Him. And if we let that gift go, we're going to let God go. Read Ezekiel. That message is plain throughout the book of Ezekiel. So there remains a Sabbath keeping,
a Sabbath observance for the people of God. And we're to devote this day to strive to enter the rest of Christ, that rest of heaven that lies ahead, and to stay in communion with our Savior and to grow in our fellowship with Him and to grow in our fellowship with His family. We're in this together. That's why Hebrews says later in chapter 10, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That was part of the pathway of apostasy, to give up the weekly meeting time. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, right? That goal of final rest. As you see the day of judgment, the day of the Lord's return coming. That's what the weekly Sabbath is all about. It's a stepping stone toward heaven. It's a market day for the soul. There remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. We're to use this day to take a break from the things that can't save us. To take a break from our work and focus on His work. Here's what's really happening when we give up the Lord's Day for work and recreation. What we're really doing is saying, I need my work and recreation more than I need the Lord. That's what's going to save me, my work, my recreating, not Jesus. But by taking a time out, saying, this day is reserved for my God, I'm saying He alone is my life and my joy and my fullness, and I will not be distracted from my appointment with God. How are you doing with keeping a day to rest in Christ? Are you making much of the opportunity that God has given you to regularly attend the assembly of God's people? We provide opportunity here twice every Lord's Day. Or do you allow other commitments to get in the way? League sports, birthdays, NASCAR, late Saturday nights, homework, travel, or I don't feel like going. Do you allow that to get in the way of the appointment God has made with you? Well, you say, He can meet me in my shop. He can meet me while I'm doing my research paper. But the Bible says that God has arranged to have a special meeting and a special presence when His people gather together. When you are assembled, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present. Oh, don't let anything get in your way. Nothing. Okay, so your folks say, but we're having a special tea this afternoon. Say, we plan to be there, but we have an appointment with God first. We'll be there a little late. Oh, they might not like you for it. Be kind about it. But let them know your life revolves around your God. He's your rest. That's a witness. That's a witness. It's important. We need this day. We were designed from the beginning to fill our souls with God by specially fellowshipping with Him during a time He specially set aside for that. Don't despise it. It's unimportant. Don't throw the gift away as our culture is doing, as Christianity in our culture has done. Now, we must be careful not to plunge ourselves into the ditch of legalism that views the Sabbath day in a meritorious way or superstitious way, that if somehow you refrain from working for a 24-hour period, you'll be saved. For if we treat the Lord's Day merely as a duty to be done, but we're not engaging with Christ, it's meaningless. The day can't save you. The day can't sanctify you. Only Christ can save you. And only Christ can sanctify you. But He's carved up the day for that purpose. So don't throw away the day. Legalism thinks that if I just hold to the form of it, I'll somehow be saved. Without Christ as your rest, the day of rest is useless. But with Christ as your rest and your focus, the day is immensely important as a gift from God. And so the real answer to legalism is not to put down the Sabbath. Well, I've seen people be legalistic about it, so I'm just going to do what I want. That's not the right answer. The right answer is use it well. Make much of it. Make much of the sacred space given to you. It's a stepping stone to heaven, a market day for the soul to do commerce with Christ in the midst of his people. It's a preparation for heaven so that we might live, thirdly, the Sabbath life. The Sabbath is not just a one-day deal. It's a seven-day thing for when we use the Sabbath for the purpose God intended, to fellowship with our Savior, to be reminded of our salvation, to be recalibrated, renewed, refreshed. You know what's going to happen? It's going to have a powerful impact on your life. And you're going to begin to experience in greater and greater depth that quietness, that peace and rest of soul and life that God wants to give you and plans to give you as you use the Sabbath for Him. That's the power of using the Sabbath in faith. Jesus Himself will visit you. Jesus Himself will visit you and work in your life by His Word and Spirit. It's a Word day, the Sabbath day is. It's a Word day, and His Word will do it in you. A day spent with Christ. Think about it. A day spent with Christ cannot leave you unchanged. What about 52 days a year spent with Christ? What's that going to do? If you really take all those opportunities seriously and come with a prayer, Lord, change me today. Lord, help me to worship you in spirit and in truth. Open my heart. Open my mind. Imagine what 52 days a year spent with Christ in the midst of his people, focusing on him, what that will do. It can't fail to be life-changing. It can't fail to impact you 7 days a week. Your life will look more and more like the God of rest, and your family will see that the way you handle your worries and fears and doubts and anxieties is changing, and they have less and less of a place in your life. And you don't lash out like you once did. Of course, it means using the day in faith. But when you engage with Christ and use the day in a special way for that, it cannot fail to change you. Christ will not fail to change you. The presence of God will go with you to work. And the people you work with will see it in the way that you talk about people and react to situations that come up. And the way you treat your fellow workers or your employer or employees, they'll see it. And that's what the Catechism says. You know, when we use the day, the festive day of rest, and the assembly of the saints to learn what God's Word teaches, to use the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, to bring Christian offerings to the poor, well, what's going to happen is that the Lord's going to work in me by his Spirit, and I'm going to rest from evil more and more and all the days of my life, and the eternal Sabbath is going to start already now in my life. Well, if you don't know this rest of soul in your life and your heart is craving something to fill it, and if you're just not finding it and you're deeply unhappy and you're all prickles and no peace, if you're trying to fill up your soul at the fountains of this world, the safety of family, in relationships, in food, in career, in comedy and entertainment, and booze and a boyfriend and a girlfriend, whatever, and don't know what real peace is, turn in here, Jesus. Because he's looking for you. Come to me, all you who are weary. He's looking for you. He's calling you, and he'll fill you. Well, that's true for all of us. Isn't our peace and quietness always being disturbed and disrupted by insecurities and anxieties and fears and emptiness? You need Jesus. And you come to him, he'll take your burden upon himself and he'll replace it with rest for you. That's his promise. I will give you rest. And you'll enjoy Sabbath like never before. May Christ be honored as we use the Lord day to rest in him and look more and more like him, our God of rest. Amen. Our Father, thank you for being merciful to us when, like Cain, we were restless wanderers. Thank you for sending Jesus down to take our restlessness upon himself. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing that burden in our place so that we could enter into the quietness and rest of your own soul. Father, we pray that you will use the day spent with you to change us more and more, but also to reflect Christ out to others so that others too may enter this rest out of their restlessness. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.